This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 606, The Battle Begins. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from pops to dorbs, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Toasty. How are you, Toasty?
Hey, Medros, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Good. Not a very busy day. Nothing really going on today, so it's been a slow day. And how are you there, fan?
Good. How is your 2 weeks off? Well, it's one.
Busier than I'd like.
Yeah? It was hot!
Oh, it was, goodness. And I was out both days. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're playing Pokemon, so I was outside working.
Yeah.
It was hot. Hot to work.
I was swimming and it was glorious.
You know, I didn't know you were a swimmer.
Oh, I love being in the water. It's fantastic.
I mean, I guess if it's hot out, then that's a great thing. That or sprinklers. Oh, sprinklers.
Well, just a few more years, you can do that with a youngin.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll be good.
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll start off with the usual, I guess. Because, you know, there's nothing going on, so. So how was your week in WoW there, Fan?
My week? WoW? I was going to ask you the same thing. My 2 weeks? It was good. I got my Spellwing. I'm not sure if I got that before the last episode. One of the streamers that I was watching a lot of, I entered into the raffle and got picked to go get carried for my Spellwing. So, yay!
You got it. Nice.
Glorious, glorious day. I'm going to watch his stream some more because he was entertaining. And, of course, I didn't write what guild... Did I? I didn't write that because I fail. Anyways, yeah, he's from a horde guild, and they're one of the top guilds in North America. Of course, I can't look at WoW progress now because it's probably reset to. Oh no, it hasn't reset. Wildcard Gaming is the guild on US Mal'Ganis. Hmm. So, they're World 12, I think. So, I think US second, only behind Limit on Illidan. No, behind Limit and behind Easy. Which Easy is also on Mal'Ganis, so they probably share tunes back and forth, or share characters back and forth between guilds as they want to hop ship to go to the higher progressed guild. Each cycle. What else? I finished off the War of Thorns things on both sides. It was kind of fun to watch the like how it unfolds from both sides because they do have slight differences and we might talk about that a little bit later. But I'm happy that I did both of them, and then also starting the phase 3 of it, you finish the quest and you get items for, I think, all specs for that faction, or all characters, I guess, of that faction. So I got all the Horde ones and all the Alliance ones, which is kind of cool. I think that's how it works. Because it gave me a laundry list of like five or six items that were added to my thing.
Yeah, that list of transmog stuff was just very long.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, none of them look particularly good.
Meh.
None of them really drew my attention.
Meh. Gotta collect them all. It's that sort of thing.
Yeah. Sure.
That's really it, I think. I came home from work today and I managed to actually log into WoW for a few minutes before the show. So that was cool. That's it for me, though. Medros, how was your 2 weeks?
Not too bad. I did not prepare as well as I should have for today, that's for sure. I will talk, I'm sure, about our, or at least two of our experiences in BFA so far. Which is to say, one of us, because only one of us has actually gone into BFA content yet. Because I don't consider the Magni thing part of the content.
Spoilers. Just joking.
No,
it's Magni. It's
not a spoiler at all. It's not a spoiler. Had a lot of family stuff and personal stuff. So,
and Pokemon. I'll
be honest, and Pokemon stuff. Yeah. So I didn't really have a huge amount of time to do WoW stuff the last couple of weeks. What I did, just basically doing missions on my mission table for Bloods of Sargeras and rep stuff. Once I have a little bit more settled in BFA, I'll go into my tomb that has all the rep tokens and go into my alts and figure out which ones can still benefit from them to finish up a rep or to do a paragon? The extra rep things, the bonus 10,000 rep item you get.
Yeah, the Paragon reps.
Yeah, there we go. So I'll see if I can go into there and use up those to try and get a little bit extra cash, maybe whatever's left over there. I'm not expecting a whole lot. But, like, I've got the coin things you got. I never used any of the mall expansion because I never quite figured out what you needed to use them for. And never really figured out the process of actually, like, trying to access those.
Oh, is that vendor beside the bank that you can go buy things off of?
Probably. Okay. I kept collecting them, but I never figured I had enough for anything, because I think the most I ever had for any one character was maybe, like, 30 or 40. But I never really looked into how to redeem those. But, I mean, across all my tunes, I have, like, 300 or 400, but not enough to... on any single tune that I figured that I could actually redeem anything for them. So I'll probably look into that and just kind of tidy up after BFA or after Legion. I did use my Blood of Sargeras to farm materials for elixirs and flasks. So I'll be selling those on the auction house. I did update my app, my companion app today. So I'm excited to see how that's going to look. But I haven't really opened it yet.
But it looks exactly the same. No. But I haven't leveled yet. I haven't done any of the BFA content, so it might come later. I don't know how this is going to work. I was going to ask about that, if anybody's tried that.
Well, maybe we should ask the person who's leveled, and maybe he knows. Or he's probably too busy leveling. I don't know.
Oh, I have to update it, too.
Yeah. How's your 2 weeks in WoW been?
Oh, well... there was a lot of anger, and there was a lot of anger, so much anger, because the whole tree burning down thing, I was not a fan of that in any capacity.
I don't know a lot of people who were.
I'll be honest, I wasn't a super fan of it. I thought it was kind of silly, but I definitely fought for the Horde in the Battle of Lordaeron. I may not have spread some blights.
Were you one of the mask-wearing individuals, or
everybody got masks?
Or were you one of the the spray-wielding individuals?
Maybe.
Shame. Shame.
Hey now, forsaken I'm scum. Dead. They were going after my home.
It wasn't
you know
wasn't
that's home. Not actually your home? It's no, stolen from other people.
He's a forsaken. Like in the lore, he's a citizen of Lordaeron.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
She's also raised a lot of people who aren't citizens of Lordaeron. people should raise from other places. Like
but Fan was a vanilla Forsaken, so that's definitely a citizen order.
I don't know. Still suspicious to me.
If you're a post, let's say if you're a post Mists, if you're Mists and forward Forsaken, there's a chance you may not be from Mordoron. Let's just say that. I don't know whether or not that's canonically true. That's just how I'm going to approach it.
I'm OG.
Even though you're risen in near Lordaeron. You know what? Yeah, screw it. As a Forsaken, you're a citizen of Lordaeron.
That's right.
It isn't Sylvanas' home. I will give you that. And not Nathanos' home, because Nathanos was from Arathi, right?
Sorry, who?
Nathanos.
Nathanos Blightcaller. Because he was originally Nathanos Trollbane.
Oh, okay.
So that would have been from Arathi. I think. I don't know. Yeah,
He was Nathanos Maris.
I thought he was Nathanos Trollbane.
Nope.
What am I thinking of? There was a Trollbane that... Oh, I'm thinking... Yeah, you know what? I'm thinking somebody else. Never mind. Yeah, so... The Battle for Lordaeron stuff. Like... There were a lot of really, really cool moments. And whatnot. And I really enjoyed playing through the entire thing. But I was talking with somebody at work about this after the fact, and it sort of made me realize, like, Gen's speech to Sil, and I'm going to talk about it because it's long gone at this point, and people need to do it to go into BFA. So I think it's fair to talk about the Battle for Lordaeron and the stuff that happened there. Gen's speech to Sylvanas. I say speech, it was like a throwaway line. Our king routed your armies. Like, did he really, though? Did he really? Like, okay. Yeah, the king marched his army through there, but if Jaina did not show up, he would not have been able to.
Yeah, that's true.
And if Jaina wasn't there, he definitely would have died in Lordaeron. So is it really the king's victory, or is just Jaina the real MVP?
Interesting question.
No, Jaina's definitely the real MVP. Like, there's no argument about that. If Jaina didn't show up with her big, fancy, flying ghost ship thing, they wouldn't have been able to march through the Blight. Yes, if the Blight wasn't there, they may have been able to get into the castle. May have been, but they depended on Jaina's ship to knock down the castle walls. So they can get in. And then they got surrounded by Blight. And then Illyria showed up and bailed them out. And then Gelban showed up and allowed them to fly over the Blight. And then when they got trapped in the throne room, Jaina bamfed them out.
Mm-hmm. I really like the, like, kind of the back and forth in that cutscene in the throne room. Especially, like, Sylvanas' little quips.
Yeah.
I thought they were entertaining.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, well, my favorite part about the cinematics that we showed in Battle for Lordaeron was when Anduin was walking into the Lordaeron throne room. My favorite thing to do is watch both that and the cutscene for Arthas walking in side by side. Because... It is
very similar.
Almost identical.
Yeah. Well, and then they had mentioned that in that one Reddit post that I think you linked or somebody from work linked or somebody from the ATA channel linked.
Yeah, we talk about WoW in a lot of places, eh?
Yeah. It's horrible. You see something come up and you have to, like, paste it in four different places.
Yep. It doesn't help that our work channel is... Like, not just specific to WoW. It started off that way.
Yeah.
And then we're like, we talk about other games here too. Let's just make it Blizzard. So now, before I could just take links from there and paste it into general in ATA, now I gotta pick the appropriate channel. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I really enjoyed the Battle for Lordaeron. There are definitely things I can pick apart about it after the fact, but in the moment, it was a feel-good moment. And then, of course, BFA came out today, so I've been playing that since it launched at 5, our time. I stopped at about an hour ago to get ready here, but I've been really enjoying that, except for the part where I forgot to send my Hearthstone to Boralis, or just anywhere that was relevant to me, questing-wise, in Culture Us. Because I hit my Hearthstone, and all of a sudden, I'm in Valley of the Four Winds, because that's where it was set. So I had to go to Stormwind, and I didn't notice that there was a portal to Boralis in the Mage Tower. I just looked at the map, and it said, oh, I can go to this dock where that used to take just a Teldrassil to go to Boralis. So I went there.
Sorry, the Stormwind Mage Tower? Or the... Yeah. Okay, sorry, when you said that earlier in Discord, I'm like, there's a portal in the Mage Tower in on Broken Isles?
Like, no.
Because that's the Mage Tower that I've been thinking about for, like, the last 2 years, so...
Yeah, it's the Stormwind Mage Tower, and if you... And, yeah. So, I waited for 10 minutes at that dock for the boat to show up. And then finally, I'm like, there's got to be another way. So I googled it, and like, yeah, there's a mage portal at the Mage Tower. But I literally came from the Mage Tower, I didn't see it. No. That must have been a beta-only thing. Turns out I'm an idiot. It definitely was there. I just walked right by it. So that was fun. So, got to Boralis, and then I've been questing through Dressfire. I'm not going to get too much into the Dressfire story stuff, like specific story stuff, because, you know, I don't think it's fair for me to spoil it 3.5 hours after the expansion comes out.
Oh, come on, people should be done it already. Jeez. People should be done that already. Jeez.
I will say this. The stuff I've played through hasn't been it hasn't been particularly compelling to me. All the story points that I've come across so far in Dressfar have been incredibly predictable. I'm hoping that changes soon. Thankfully, I didn't get spoiled for the Alliance side of stuff, because I only did Horde stuff in beta. So I'm looking forward to kind of experiencing all that story and seeing what's happening. We're seeing a bunch of cool, different things all over the place. Specifically, the quests were that have you going to Culture Us. There's a couple cinematics there dealing with Jaina and her reception back home, and just her thinking over things on her way back home. And again, I'm not going to spoil it, but like those were really cool little moments that I really enjoyed.
Well, we kind of got an idea from the Warbringers for her that she wasn't going to get much of a welcome there, right?
And if anyone expected her to get a warm welcome, like, even without the Warbringers thing, they were probably deluding themselves a little bit. Let's be real here. She kind of did a thing that screwed over a lot of Culturans. Or Culturans, whatever you want to call it. However you say it. I don't see them being particularly happy with her.
Nope. But she lived up to her family's reputation of using boats to solve their problems.
Yeah, she did. She did.
In a cannot glorious deny way. That.
So, I just updated the companion app. And, yeah, it's just totally all the new BFA stuff. So, if you update it, you don't get any of the old things from Legion, if you cared. Although it's kind of neat, because like it has the world quest filters. There's another thing on it where you can switch between zones. So you can look at Zandalar, you can look at Culture Us. There's buttons on the top. One's for coming soon, social. One's for coming soon, calendar. And then there's like the main middle one.
Does it list your server name next to your character name?
When you select character, yes, it does.
Oh, look at that, man. They listened.
Yeah, because you...
Now you can pick between the right fans.
Change
you,
characters and... Character selection. Felborn, Laughing Skull, Glide or Die, Laughing Skull, Fandeth, Dalaran, Fandeth, Laughing Skull. I'm just going to take Fandeth, Laughing Skull because, you know, that's my main now.
Yeah, I looked as well. It definitely feels like it's a work in progress.
Oh, for sure. One other thing that I noticed was on the main menu, you can choose your character. So I could say view Fandeth, and it'll load my like character sheet. And you can look at your items and see like all your gear, which is kind of neat. And that used to be in the other app that they, I think that they decommissioned. That's kind of neat though. I like that.
Huh. Remember the, you know that Twitter campaign that they had going on where you click the button and it says it'll remind you?
Yeah.
When BFA comes out?
Yeah.
I just got it as of 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
A little late on Twitter that message, Warcraft right? account.
Hmm? Twitter app message?
Yep.
Yeah, I got one too. Yeah, like 2 or 3 hours after launch.
Well, I mean, they were fighting server battles.
True.
Yeah. No, I'm not arguing that. I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, BFA's out? Oh, I didn't realize that. I'm just going to keep questing in Drustvar now.
One thing, yeah. though, like, related to the BFA, like, pre-BFA content. Oh, we didn't talk about the... Did we talk about the video with Sarfang? Or was that after the show last week?
It was after.
So, after, yeah.
Is like, so we've gotten 3 videos, and I mean they were all awesome, but we don't have the Ashara video. I wonder when we're gonna get that. I was kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. I really want to know what's happening with that, because like that was, we were supposed to get the Warbringers, all the Warbringers videos before BFA, right? I mean that was what I understood it to be.
Yeah. But maybe Ashara is the Warbringer and Sarfang was the Warbringer. It was the last of the Warbringers. And they just kind of, you know, trolled us like that.
I mean, I'm not complaining because we got Sarfang.
Yeah.
We got the Sarfang cinematic, and more importantly, we have backstory for Zappy Boy.
That's true, yeah. Oh, Medros doesn't like Zappy Boy. He got zapped by a little trolley once.
Okay, no. Medros, serious question here.
Yes.
If you had to party up with either of these people, Zappy Boy or Rathion, who would you pick?
Wow, that's quite the set of choices you give me there.
I would go with Zappy Boy all day, every day. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's a troll, so I don't trust him, but I trust Rathion even less.
How can you not trust trolls?
Yeah.
Look what Bulgin
did. Do not trust
because their name is literally something not to be trusted.
They are trolls. I mean, the internet made it that way.
Yes. But there's no history where trolls are a good thing.
What about troll dolls?
Those were creepy.
Creepy
does not equal creepy does not mean untrustworthy.
That's true.
And they made a movie about them, and they're stupid.
Don't judge.
Well, maybe. I never watched it.
I didn't have a choice. Anyways. Yeah, I think... For my characters, I think what I'm probably going to do for the first little while I'm leveling up my main through to 120 is I'll probably actually put them back on the Vindicar and just use up the last of their resources they have there. Because... I can still get use out of the flasks because people will still want those for a while in BFA, and rep is always good, so.
I'm torn. Yeah,
I mean, they'll just be like a quick check-in every day.
Because okay. I want to do like the remainder of the quests on my Laughing Skull guy because I never finished all that stuff, and now I have more, better content to do. Maybe I'll just go do all that stuff when I outgear everything. That's a good choice.
See, what my plan is for every time I log in, I'm just gonna tape a piece of paper over the character list. And like, oh well, I don't have any other characters. Let's just play Baleran. Until I get my Dark Iron Dwarves unlocked.
Ah.
And then I'll make the one true pally.
Okay. I commend you for actually taking that into consideration as a possibility for you.
Well, I'm only doing it because of the thing.
I know.
Like, I'll level it to 120 and then never touch it again.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, I guess we should move on to our first sponsorship.
Well, before that, I mean, was there other stuff about War of the Thorns that we wanted to talk about, or did we pretty much exhaust that?
Well, I mean, I guess we can talk a little more about that. Like, do we include Battle for Alodaron in the War of the Thorns?
Yep.
Yeah, that's okay. Part of that, yeah. I mean, there's definitely points that you see in one of the things that you don't see in the other thing. And I assume that since War of Thorns is gone, it's not spoiler content.
Yeah, I mean, BFA, at this point, BFA is launched.
Yeah.
My feeling is, talk about all the things from War of the Thorns.
So, the one thing that really rose to me is Sourfang, just the way he acts and kind of his envisionment and embodiment of honor. And, you know, like, he stuck back in Lordaeron because he didn't want to side with Sylvanas, and he got captured. And he's, what, in the Stockades now, you said?
Yeah.
So that's interesting that he got captured and he's being held there. And, like, what's going to happen? I don't know. Like, if we're going to break him out or how that's going to work. Or he's going to break out himself. Or, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know what happens because I did the horn side in the beta.
Oh.
So I can't really say much more.
But even, like, the part before that where he was face-to-face with Malfurion, I mean, he could have killed Malfurion right there.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I can't do that. It's just without honor. I cheap shot him, and that sucks. Take him away because I don't want that on my hands.
Yeah, but, they're certainly building up Sourfang to be a lot more than he has been in the previous expansions.
Yeah.
So, Sourfang for Warchief?
I'm with that.
Yeah, the old soldier animation cinematic thing, that was pretty hard, actually. Like, I would imagine something like Eitrig would also be very similar and very, very much, you know, what we did was dishonorable as the Horde, because they do live by honor, and Sylvanas is not honorable. For some reason, I wasn't quite sure until about halfway through what Sourfang was planning to do. I thought maybe he was going to betray the Horde and inform to the Alliance, but I was wrong there.
Yep, that wouldn't be honorable though, right?
True.
Yeah, what he did very much fit his character.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he attempted to gain his honorable death. Can I just say very quickly that moment, that flashback to his son?
Yeah.
At Ice Crown? Like, just ripped your heart out. there was no damns given about that. Like, Jesus. It was crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty hard.
Also, like, the quality of the animation was just outstanding.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Troll's lips move, and it made sense. Also, like, the amount of detail there. Like, if you pause at the moment where Zappy Boy is giving Sourfang the necklace back, like, you can see his fingerprints.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's just an unreal amount of detail. Kind of make, and the whole thing just It made me care a lot more about Sarfang and seeing what's happening with him and what will happen with him. Certainly, I care a lot more about him than I did about previous Horde leaders. But like, yeah, they're there. Thrall's doing his thing. Vol'jin's doing his thing, I think. I don't know, we didn't actually see any evidence of it during his reign, but whatever.
He got cheap shot. That's what Vol'jin did.
Yep. Sylvanas did a thing in Stormheim. But never really cared, you know? And I'm pretty invested in seeing what happens with Starfang. I'm invested now in seeing what happens with Starfang, so that's... I can't wait to see what happens beyond the event that I'm aware of.
That's good, though. I mean, that's what storytelling is all about. And, I mean, World of Warcraft is all about storytelling, and it's not just a game anymore. It's a huge story that so many people are invested in. And, I mean, we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but the interview with Chris Metzen that Scott Johnson did was, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, when we talk about that, I have stuff that even bleeds over into stuff that happened today. Some thoughts that I'll be honest, I very much agree with a lot of what Chris said in that interview. Unfortunately, the same reactions and the same kind of responses happened even today. That interview came out a few days ago, and it's still happening. Like, people are still doing this.
People aren't going to stop. I mean, I know some people would have been ashamed and would have felt remorse after someone like Chris came out and say something like that. I've seen evidence of that. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, can't curse. at the end of the day, cruddy people are going to be cruddy.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the fact that people noticed or observed Jaina's reaction in the Battle of Freyr Lordaeron's final cinematic when Anduin mentions what happened to Teldrassil?
In my head, I'm thinking, my headcanon is she's like, oh damn, I called it, because she did.
Yeah.
When did she call it?
I can't remember when exactly, but there was in the Reddit threads, there was someone saying that she said, you know, when are you gonna stop the Horde when they burn Teldrassil to ashes or something along those lines?
It was the bombing of Theramore, I think.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you're right. I had read that too.
I don't think at that point in the she knew what happened with Teldrassil.
Her reaction definitely seemed to be surprise to my eye. And if she did predict it, like you're saying, and I believe that she did, I would see that reaction more as, I can't believe I was right. I can't believe they'd actually do that.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. I totally called it, but holy crap, I actually called it. They actually did that. When she said it, I'm sure, you know, the sentiment when it was spoken was trying to come up with the most extreme thing possible that could just never happen. What if they did this? Is this what it would take? I think they're going to do this someday. Yeah. It's going to be get that bad. Her reaction definitely seemed to be very surprised by that information. Yeah. But hey, she's gone for like 2.5 years, so whatever.
Isn't that long canonically in game?
I was beginning of Legion, and I'm...
Right, yeah, but it's been 2.5 years since we got Legion. What I'm wondering is if canonically that's how much time has actually passed.
I don't know that anybody ever outlined that. Let's see here. Unofficial timeline shows... If I scroll all the way to the bottom. So from the end of Warlords of Draenor, it was year 32. Battle for Azeroth, all this other stuff. 33 for patch 7.3.5, but it doesn't actually say how long between that stuff to Battle for Azeroth starting.
Okay, so she's been gone at least a year.
At least a year, yeah.
All right.
Definitely some very interesting things you can find if you read real deep into some of the stuff they've released the last little while.
So I just linked an image from a Reddit thread, and in Tides of War, Jaina said, "Will you act when Teldrassil falls when they are burning a world tree?"
Hmm.
Now, and this goes also towards the Metzen interview, where he says that, you know, the story for World of Warcraft is not like, oh, hey, that'd be cool, let's do that, and they make a video tomorrow. It's something that they've planned for years. So all the story that you're seeing now is something that somebody or a group of people thought up 2-3 years ago. So in 2016, what was that when we were like just waiting for Legion to happen or wrapping up of Warlords?
Up like, there, yeah.
We're chasing that dude that we got rid
Gul'dan?
Of.
Gul'dan?
Gul'dan, yeah. So we're concerned about Gul'dan, and meanwhile, they're talking about Sylvanas. Like, it's crazy how much thought goes into this game that you don't even think of. You kind of just take it for granted. I definitely take it for granted. It's like, wow, this is... Like, the storytelling is just amazing, but...
They definitely plan ahead.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get to that later. I mean, they're, you know, years of planning for storylines we're just hitting now.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible.
Just imagine, like, the whiteboards that, like, show all the stories and whatever. And they have pictures of those whiteboards. And, wow. It's just so crazy.
Yeah. All right. Anything else for the pre-release content?
Hey, I think I'm good.
Toasty?
I'm good.
All right. I guess we'll go to our first sponsor message, I guess. And that is, of course, from the great folks over at Funko. I will be honest, I am a little lost on where I am in the original planning I had for stuff, because moving between computers is bad.
That's why you paste it in the show notes.
Yeah, well, but I believe, if I recall correctly, there was a new round of Overwatch Funko Pops that was being promised. And we talked, I think, about one last week. If I recall, it was D.Va. I think I let Toasty choose. Oh, that sounds familiar. So, this week, I'm going to pick an actual Funko Pop itself from the upcoming, I guess, Series 4. Of Overwatch Funko Pops. There's been a lot of them so far. And that is Hanzo. This is one that I know a lot of people were asking for a very long time, because it is some people's favorite character to play. I do like that they like even included like the bow and even got detailed enough for his tattoos and everything. I really like the look of this Funko Pop, and I really like that they've gone so far down the Overwatch line. Still looking for like two more that I don't have yet. Just really frustrating. What do you think of the Hanzo Funko Pop here, Toasty?
I refuse to buy it because I refuse to be associated with Hanzo mains.
Okay.
True story.
All right then. Well, that's very clear. Besides the character opinions, I do like this Funko Pop, and I'm very excited to see how some of the other ones look. We'll talk about those another time. For this week, though, I will say that if you do want to check out Funko, you can check out this or any other Funko Pop they sell over at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 and use Shop10 to save 10%. And I want to thank Funko for their support of the show.
So I'm just looking back at the chat logs. The one that you did last time was the D.Va keychain. And then gotcha. You said, oh shoot, just remembered the Funko I planned to do today before the Overwatch ones, and it was the Pikachu one.
Right.
Yeah. Oh well, Overwatch. Go Overwatch. That Hanzo looks kind of neat. It's not a keychain, though.
I'm surprised that the bowstring, I feel like that would break pretty easily.
Well, you're not supposed to take it out of the box. Come on, man.
Yes.
Yeah, never take them out of the box if you want to keep value.
I mean, literally all of mine are out of boxes, so.
Alright. Well.
Like, don't take the BlizzCon Murky out of the box.
Oh, yeah, that's like several years too late.
I never took mine out of the box.
Like, didn't we get that in our first BlizzCon?
I think so.
That's like 6 years too late. Anyway, what's coming up in WoW,
fam? Well, hey, guess what? It's our first show of the month. So let's talk about this month in WoW. Battle for Azeroth, global release today. You know, that was like 4 hours ago. Throughout the whole world, though. I was at work when it happened, so I don't know about any sort of drama or snags with it. So it worked when I logged in, so everything's great. War of the Thorns ended last night or today before the release. So hopefully everybody got their mounts. You only have to do the story on one side to get both mounts. I still did the story on both sides. So I got both mounts. Either way. What else is happening? Starting this week is PvP Brawl Gravity Lapse. That's going to be from August 21st to the 27th. That's not this week. That's next week. And that's why I wrote down the dates there. And then also at the end of this month is Trial of Style. Wow, words are hard. That's going to be August 31st to September 4th. And then we're going to be in September. Wow. When I was looking at the calendar yesterday or the day before, I was looking for different things, and it seemed very sparse as far as events are going, but I guess most of them are not really a thing anymore. But I'm sure that we'll start seeing more coming in September. And then I had a question related, and I have a note of this. Did anybody test out the Darkmoon Fair profession leveling with the pre-patch to see how that worked? Because I totally forgot.
Yeah, I as is typical fashion, forgot that Darkmoon Fair existed.
Yeah.
So I didn't do that.
Ooh.
Hell, I almost forgot to drop blacksmithing before I headed to Boralus today.
Oh.
Because I meant to pick up mining again.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. That sucked. And then I hearthed to Stormwind to Dalaran by mistake anyway.
So. Yep. I caught a few shiny Eevees. Does that count?
No.
No.
I didn't.
There was no Eevees in the Darkmoon Fair.
Well, I'm sure some uncreative person named one of their battle pets Eevee.
The next Darkmoon Fair is going to be in 3 weeks. It's going to be starting on September 2nd. So, yeah. Somebody remind us. Anybody remind us. Set an OK Google reminder. Or, what's the... Oh, shoot. My phone just said, what's this reminder? Oh, jeez.
So, just a note for anybody who didn't notice. There was just a micropatch pushed for WoW.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, like 100 megs or something. That's very small.
What is it?
I don't know.
Huh. How'd you know?
More backstory for Sappy Boy.
What? That Sappy Boy.
You know, forget Sarfang, forget Bane, Sappy Boy for Warchief. I'm sure he'll show up just as much as Vol'jin did. He's probably showing up a lot more right now because there's like a huge spike of characters that have Zap as their name. Did you guys notice that on MMO Champion?
I saw that on MMO Champion.
Yeah.
Huh. Like, the spike of characters immediately after the Old Soldier cinematic is just, it's just gargantuan. Like, the number of Zap characters created daily was very, very low. And the bar next to it, like, it's not It's so large that the bars before Old Soldier look like lines. They're just that small. So many Zappy Boys all over the world. I wonder how many of them are legitimately troll shamans.
Ooh, MMO Champion has a bunch of intros and stuff. Cool.
The intro videos?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the Alliance one was fantastic.
Yeah?
But yeah, many, many Zappy Boys.
Yeah.
Much to Metro's chagrin.
I just don't get the whole draw of it, that's all.
It's just your standard memery.
Yeah, I've never really been a big fan of memes.
Trolls. I mean, huh. Oh, wow, that just fit right there.
Okay, I just got it.
Right?
Wow.
I didn't even mean it in that way. No. No, but yeah, there's a troll right there. That happened.
Anyway, so, I mean, we've been dealing with, obviously the big news out of the past 2 weeks has been the Warthorns and Battle for Azeroth launching today. What may have slipped under some people's radar was an interview with, I think it was Scott Johnson, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Chris Metzen?
Yeah.
Yep.
Medros, did you have a chance to check that out?
I listened to part of it and then read a summary on MMO Champion for the rest, because, didn't have a chance to listen to all of it. But I think Chris makes some really good points, and this is kind of what I want to talk about. One of the things that really struck out to me in this interview is, I think everybody who is part of this community should feel embarrassed by some of the stuff that's happened in this community in the last little while. As a content creator, I know what it's like to be attacked when you're trying to do something that you're hoping other people will like. I know all too well how it feels to feel that everything you try and do gets trashed. What I've seen written on the internet about the developers, the story writers, well, Christy Golden, about the... even today, the server techs and the people trying to fix the problems at Blizzard have honestly infuriated me in a way that I never thought was actually possible when looking at this community. I don't know when things changed, because I don't feel like this stuff was being said and done, and this level of vitriol was being thrown at people just trying to make a game that for other people to enjoy. I don't feel like this was done back then. You know, back even 2 or 3 years ago. Yes, people had problems, but they provided decent feedback, I felt. And maybe it's just me with rose-colored glasses on looking on the past and stuff, but I don't feel that this was stuff that I saw, you know, in the past in this community. So, Chris and Scott talked a little bit about some of the stuff, and you know, Chris mentions that he was always felt very embraced by the community, and he was. He was very much a beloved part of the Blizzard development team. His role as the creative guy was, I felt, very respected by a lot of the people in the community. And to see somebody who I've respected for a very long time as an amazing storyteller who wrote books and characters that have captured emotion in its rawest form from every book she's written in this universe, to her being attacked for how Sylvanas and her character has developed. I'm glad I'm not the only one to feel almost shame at this community for how it's treated somebody who I have talked to and know is only interested in telling good stories that are evocative to the emotion and then to the mind and to the heart. You know, when I see the stuff that happened then, and I see people who then apologized for their words, realizing that they were wrong and misplaced, and just coming from a place of defending something you like. You're a fan boy or girl for Sylvanas. You don't want to see that character have this story told. And I can go into many different opinions on that. I have lots. But my opinions don't matter as much because I'm not one of the people who is sitting there saying horrible things on the internet about somebody who was just trying to do something creative to give people story that covers characters and events that they will be important to them. To see some of those same people today trashing on Blizzard's developers or Blizzard's techs or whoever's in charge of the departments that, like, there was two issues being worked on at the same time. One was an issue with the Heart of Azeroth quest not always rewarding the Heart of Azeroth and stalling people there. And there was other issues with login. And some people, when Blizzard responded, posted on Blizzard CS, oh, we're working on this issue with Heart of Azeroth. As soon as we have a solution, we'll post it here and we'll make sure people are aware of how to get their Heart of Azeroth. Maybe it's to reset the quest or we have to put a ticket in. We'll let you know what we can do. Well, somebody responded immediately with a, you know, I don't really give a damn about people who can't get this item. I give a damn about people who can't log in, so fix that instead. I don't know how many times I've had to tell people in this community that there are lots of people at Blizzard, and some people work on quests, and other people work on servers. So the fact that you have people work on the servers is not taken away from people who are working on quests. And people work on quests doesn't take away from people who work on servers. They are two very different people, different work titles, different skill sets, and everything. So telling people who are working on a server, go fix my quest, or telling somebody who's working on a quest, go fix my server, well, you can go have the guy working on your quest working on your server, but you're probably not going to get anywhere. So let's have the guy working on the server work on the server, and they work on the quest work on the quest, and each will get done when they get done, but neither is going to prevent the other from getting done. Like, I don't know why people can't understand that there are different departments and different work specialties and different skill sets, and you don't have the guy working on your server also working on your quest. Don't know why we have to keep going into that when Blizzard has problems with any of their games, when any developer has problems with their games. I see this in Pokemon too, and I have to remind people there too. Now, maybe these people don't understand, but the janitor is not going to be doing my job in support. And I'm not going to be cleaning up the toilet and taking out the trash. That's his job. You have roles. And I know this is a long-winded rant about a lot of different things. And I do apologize if I've gone far afield with this topic. But it's just incredibly frustrating to see people who are attacking those whose job it is to help them. Because all the respect, when you attack people who are trying to help you, it makes them less inclined to actually help you. And if you drive everybody out of the roles that are meant to help you, guess what? You're going to get no help. Because you've driven everybody away. You've made their lives hell. That you've trashed on everything they've done to the point where they don't want to help you anymore. And you get no help. And then what are you going to do? You're going to not be able to log into your game for a month because there's nobody there to fix the servers. And you're not going to have any fixes to your quests or new quests or raid content because all of the people who create that stuff have said, oh, well, to hell with it. I'm done. I give up. They will not let us win. I'm out of here. And then we have nothing.
The one thing that really, really, really irks me is when people are complaining about things either on forums, on Reddit, on Twitter. They don't have well thought out arguments for their complaints. They don't know how to spell. Like, I'm sorry, but if you can't form a sentence properly with proper spelling, punctuation, etc., why should I take you seriously? Because you're just a joke if you're gonna be a moron like that. Like, I have no respect for people that talk like that. That, you know, like, there's a spell check button everywhere. You can hit that and it'll give you some hints as what to do. Whenever I'm drafting up an email that I'm sending somewhere, that's kind of important, I get somebody to read over it for me and tell me, like, if it makes sense. And I mean, I have a very huge reputation for having, like, drafting things out very well thought, and I kind of take both sides and, you know, well-formed arguments, but I don't rage about minor things. Like, I just hope for people to be able to do their job and figure it out and not have other people interfering with them.
Yeah. I mean, I know people who don't spell right all the time.
I can't take them seriously. If somebody doesn't spell something right and they're complaining about something, I'm sorry, I can't take you seriously. I mean, if they miss, like, get the wrong spelling of the word for or something, okay, whatever, spell check. Yeah, it's sometimes it's hard to type, especially if it's on a phone. But if they can't, like, if it's unreadable, I'm sorry. No, there's a spell check for a reason. Like, if you're gonna try to rant about something, at least be intelligent and well thought out, because otherwise it's not worth my time to read your crap.
Well, I mean, to be fair, dyslexia is something that is hard to overcome, and I know several people who are dyslexic, so that's definitely going to be something that I will disagree with you on, in some aspects, but I don't believe that the people you're referring to have that issue. I think they're just being lazy. I think they're just not trying, or they are so filled with self-righteous anger that they can't form proper sentences. And that is where it's is not fair. And that's where I wouldn't take you seriously. If I've seen your tweets and I see that you can write well and you just didn't want to on this instance, that is a different story than, oh, I look at your history of Twitter and you generally have some typos here or there, or you don't quite phrase things properly, and that could be dyslexia or some other issue. So I will argue that with you, Fan, that there are possible reasons why that shouldn't be disqualifying for somebody's opinion, because there can be reasons there. However, I will agree with you insofar as if they just don't try in that instance, well, they don't want to try. They don't want to try. They don't want to bother. And Zeph in our chat room is asking what I mean by rage. There are people who will rage tweet. They will not even bother with making sure it's the spelling's right, the words are right. They will just spew anger into their Twitter 280 characters. And that is another point where I'm like, I don't know if I can take what you're saying all that seriously, because you're not even attempting to put the effort into your words. All that is rage, and I'm sorry. A friend of mine, an old guild leader of mine, said something really smart to me one time, and he made it the guild policy, and that is, if you have anything important to say or do, anything that is important to you, wait a week. Because if you say that thing in anger or make that decision based on emotion, you'll probably regret it. You will not be able to take it back. And it is going to be a changing factor in your life.
Not even necessarily a week, but sleep on it.
At least.
Just take time, like, at the end of the day.
Like, we had a policy in that guild of, if you leave, you're going to have a hard time coming back. So wait a week if you want to leave this guild. You wait a week. You think about it. You make sure this is exactly what you want to do. Because know that if you try and come back, you're going to have a hard time, and there's a good chance the answer is going to be no. I mean, I saw a lot of angry people out there, and I cannot fault the people behind Blizzard CS for responding with a little sass today, after the second and third hour of BFA being out and having problems. And I'm sorry. There was one person on Twitter who was saying that they felt that that sass and a little attitude back towards people who are attacking the community service team and or customer service team and the server people and the developers, those people who are attacking, I don't feel at all bad, and I would defend those people if they were being considered for being fired, because I'm sorry, when you're trashed on that much, and I saw a lot of those tweets, and there was a lot of very calm, very reasoned tweets of, oh, well, you know, I understand, but this is actually the way it is, and, you know, just let you know, they didn't get it. After a certain period of time, you have to tell people the way it is, even if they don't like how it's worded or how it hears. People need to be more respectful. That's all there is to it.
One thing that I've talked about with a whole bunch of people, including Hannah, everybody, it doesn't matter who they are, should absolutely have the experience at some point in their life of working customer service and or retail. Like, work in a grocery store or like a fine retail outlet or something. And just to, you know, give yourself some respect for people that are in those positions. It's not easy. I mean, I've worked in many different retail places, and I have so much respect for people in any sort of support role. I mean, yes, I can be upset about things and I grumble, but I will never call out somebody for an issue that's not their fault. And you know that they're doing everything they can to try to correct it. And you know, sometimes you can't. Like, I can't tell you how many things that have happened where it's beyond my control. Like, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what the issue is. And I have so much respect for people that have to go and clean up all that junk all the time, because it's not fun and it's not easy. And watching people rant and rave and, you know, and get violent, like aggressive and violent. No. Everybody should spend time in a position where they can learn to respect what people have to sit through.
What do you think, Toasty?
First of all, just to steer it back to the content of the interview in general, in relation to the story, and people's issues with the way the story has been developing throughout the Warthorn events and what they've seen develop so far, is that I understand people being upset with people with the character direction of certain people, of certain characters in WoW, specifically Sylvanas. People have been a fan of Sylvanas for years. She's one of the more beloved characters amongst the fan base. And this direction may not be lining up with their perceptions of what Sylvanas' character is. And I get that. I get why you would be upset by that. And you're well within your right to be upset by it. And you're not well within your right to just attack somebody over it. Because first of all, it's a story. At the end of the day, if you don't like it, don't engage with the story. Second of all, the story is not done. Yeah, you might be upset right now, but we don't know what's going to happen down the line.
Maybe they'll raise Vol'jin.
Yeah, or maybe there's a reason for that. There's obviously a reason that all this is happening.
Yeah.
And we're going to get there. But you can't rage about a story that you've only read half of.
Well, and like, the things that are going to happen, they decided, you know, 2 years ago, less 2 weeks.
Right? I mean, yeah. During this interview, Chris said the last thing that he worked on was the Battle for Azeroth cinematic.
Yeah.
And he retired. He's been retired for, like, before Legion even, right?
Yeah, November 2016.
Yeah.
Actually, September 2016.
Yeah, so he's been retired since before Legion, and the Battle for Azeroth cinematic was the last thing he worked on. So that tells us that they are at least 2 years ahead in terms of story. We don't know what's going to happen with Sylvanas or with any other of the story points that people are upset about right now. So, be patient. I'm sure that they've got something coming out that'll answer some of your questions and alleviate some of that anger, because there've been many instances of people not being happy with the story direction, and then you know, a couple years later, it's like, oh man, yeah, this is great. This perfectly resolves stuff and all that other kind of crap. So just wait.
Just a correction, he left about 2 weeks after Legion released.
Okay. Even so, 2.5 years. Yeah, two and a half years before BFA came out. And the BFA cinematic was the last thing he worked on. So that tells us that he was working on it before Legion launched. I don't imagine that that first 2 weeks I can't imagine that the first 2 weeks of Legion, he started and finished working on the BFA cinematic. I can't imagine that being true.
Yeah, not at all. And like, related to the story stuff, yeah, things aren't always gonna go your way. I'm still super bummed about Vol'jin. Like, we're just getting, well, and bummed about the story arc for Garrosh. It's like, oh hey, he's our war chief, yay, and then he's bad, and then Vol'jin comes, and okay, well, we'll take him, and then he gets cut down, and then Sylvanas comes, and I mean, I wasn't right from the get-go super supportive of Sylvanas, even though I'm undead. And I definitely took part in things in the Battle for Lordaeron that I probably wouldn't normally do, but it's like, oh hey, this is kind of fun, let's do this, like mob mentality type thing. But overall, I love the story. I love it, but little tidbits of it, it's not my favorite thing. Like, it's like, oh, that sucks, I'm bummed about that, but you know, it happens. And as a whole, it's awesome. I'm still playing. I'm still logging in every week, mostly every week, and playing and watching the story. And I've started reading the quests a lot more than I was way back in the day when I think maybe for MOP, I went straight to, from whatever my level was to max level, without even sleeping. Like, I pulled an all-nighter, and you know, I had drinks and snacks that I could play or eat and level and go. I mean, I don't do that anymore. I've grown older, too old for that. But
end of the day, the story's not done yet.
No.
Don't attack the writers yet. We don't know what's gonna happen. I'm sure people were very upset about the direction Garrosh was going back in the day. Because
yeah.
It had the potential to be a fantastic redemption story for that bloodline. And it didn't work out that way. I'm sure some people were expecting it. But I think we still got a pretty good story out of it. So just wait.
Yeah. I mean, Sorfang for Warchief, right? Right?
Or Bane. I'll take Bane.
Yeah. Definitely.
And if neither of those two want to step up to the plate, it's Zappy Boy. Warchief Zappy Boy.
Okay, I'll be honest here. When I was doing the Horde side for the Battle for Lordaeron, I kind of thought that Bane was going to bite it. When Blightcaller left, when Sylvanas sent Blightcaller out, following the same path that Bane did, I kind of thought maybe she was killing him off.
Yeah.
She's like, you know what has to be done? I'm like, what has to be done when you're following the war chief or the chieftain of the Tauren? No, don't be doing that. Nope, don't need to do that. Just go another way.
No, Bloodhoof family has suffered too much. Don't do that to me.
Exactly. I'm like, no, sorry. This you should not be doing this.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite Horde leader. Don't do it. Don't do it. Do what you want with Lorthamar, though. Literally, nobody will notice.
Are you saying that you're not a fan of Lorthamar?
No, I'm just saying nobody knows he exists. The number of posts and all that stuff. I see talking about the Horde leaders. The one Horde leader that's consistently left out of those discussions is Lorthamar.
Yeah, he's not very popular. Anyways, it was a great interview. Definitely recommend you actually go read it yourself.
Or listen to it.
Or listen to it if you are into listening.
I hope you are, because we're a podcast. I love.
Maybe they run it through a text-to-speech and just read the text. Who knows?
That's... Wow. That sounds... I wonder how text-to-speech would translate Zappy Boy.
Had to do that. Just had to do that, didn't you?
Yep. Or Rathion.
Moving right along. This is actually something that I saw posted by my friend Bullet Catcher over on Twitter. And this is something he noticed when he was doing the stuff for the Heart of Azeroth. And that is that there is a... if you click on the Maiden of Vitality that is impaled on, I think, a Shard of Azerite, she actually says some really interesting things. One of the end of the text is Aldemon, Aldum, Alderus, Alduar, Aldir, Aldaz, Ald. Now, I agree with the last four words or fragments of words there, because I feel like there's a lot of Alds in this game.
No.
However, there's two that are mentioned there that we've never heard of before. I've never heard of Alderus, nor Aldaz.
What's Ulduar?
Ulduar?
I'm messing with you. Don't actually answer that.
I figured that as much, but anyways. So, really long breadcrumb for somewhere later down the road when we get these other two Titan facilities? What do you guys think?
So, for the chat room, that's the tweet that Medros was talking about.
Well, if you want to tell
people. Because, I mean, he didn't add it to the show notes for myself and Toasty.
Oh, he just added the names, yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly. It was an easy copy-paste. I did that.
Gotcha. but, yeah, very interesting that they mentioned two that are not currently known in the game.
Yeah.
Nor mentioned in any of the Warcraft Chronicles.
Huh. That's right. Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder when we'll be seeing those.
Oh, he was... Oh, I don't know. I haven't gotten that far either. Wait. What did I miss?
Did you explore the Heart of Azeroth cavern at all?
No, I just went in there and that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have to go through there and do that again. Felborn, you're going there.
Do you have any you haven't done it on yet? That are able to do it?
I did it on a Phandalf.
But you should have only done it on one character.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you'd have at least the other one to do it on.
Yep. Fan 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Fan 2, Felborn, Glide or Die. I got everything.
Okay.
Well, okay, I only have
But yeah, definitely explore that cavern a little bit. There's some very interesting stuff in there.
I just wanted to kind of move on with the story before the show. Yeah,
I think I think their goal was to do that the very way they did it because they knew people would be very rushed to get it done and go on to the stuff they want to get done.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't even notice the maiden there, to be honest.
I did.
I noticed
the maiden. I was like just waiting for the servers to die because I heard everybody else was talking about it. But it never happened for me.
Me neither. I was just stupid and didn't read stuff that I should have read, that's all. Definitely be curious to see how that's going to be playing out. I'm sure that Lore Watch over on Blizzard Watch is going to do something about those two places at some point. But I guess let's talk about our second sponsor, shall we?
All right, so our second sponsor is, as usual, the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. This week we're going to continue our dive into the secrets of the immortal Nicholas Flamel series. This is book 2, The Magician. Let's have a listen.
Within the next 3 minutes, a flurry of bids brought the price up to €250,000. There were only three serious bidders left: Machiavelli, the American actor, and the Canadian. Machiavelli's thin lips twisted into a rare smile. His patience was about to be rewarded, and finally the masks would be his. Then the smile faded as he felt the cell phone in his back pocket buzz silently. For an instant, he was tempted to ignore it. He'd given his staff strict instructions that he was not to be disturbed unless it was absolutely critical. He also knew they were so terrified of him that they would not phone unless it was an emergency. Reaching into his pocket, he pulled out the ultra-slim phone and glanced down. A picture of a sword pulsed gently on the large LCD screen. Machiavelli's smile vanished. In that second, he knew he was not going to be able to buy the Kabuki masks this century. Turning on his heel, he strode out of the room and pressed the phone to his ear. Behind him, he could hear the auctioneer's hammer hit the lectern. Sold for 260,000 euro. I'm here, Machiavelli said, reverting to the Italian of his youth. The line crackled, and an English-accented voice responded in the same language, using a dialect that had not been heard in Europe for more than 400 years. I need your help.
So once again, that was the second book in the Secrets of the Immortal Nicholas Flamel series, The Magician, written by Michael Scott and narrated by Eric Singer. You can find that and over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
Our question of the week last week was, how much do you hate Raytheon? And of course, I get the following replies. Lady Emma says, once again, you're probably blaming him for something he has not done. It was Nomi who started the fire. He was trying a new recipe, and it got out of control. Erlina on Twitter says, popcorn.gif. And Erlina in our Discord says, hey, Raytheon, why would I hate Raytheon? He's good for the popcorn business. I didn't realize she was selling popcorn. I'm kind of concerned here.
And Bullet Catcher said, who is this Raytheon? Don't think I've ever heard the name. Or if I have, it's been so long, they might as well have died off screen. Spectacular Death says, with the white hot flame of 800 suns.
Sadly, not 1,000, but okay.
Every Class says, really, guys? Come on now. And Frasley says, I love Raytheon.
Every Class, I do apologize. It pre-expansion, didn't want to lead the questions and stuff, so sorry.
But it's gonna be better.
Erlina just popcorned again.
Thank you.
It's all right though. We've got a great question for this week. With the War of Thorns and Legion ending this week, or 4 hours ago, what did you think of the expansion and pre-Battle for Azeroth events? So Legion as a whole, I enjoyed. I had a lot of fun with all the raid content. The raid content was super compelling, and honestly, that was the majority of my playtime. As for the pre-Battle for Azeroth events, I can't remember if I talked about it here or if it was in the Sundering.
Do you want to let the listeners know about? I mean, you've been cheating on the podcast for at least a couple days last couple weeks.
I can curse on the Sundering.
Okay.
So in terms of the pre-BFA events, in comparing them to the pre-Legion events, I enjoyed how much story it brought. The story was super compelling, and it gave me a lot to talk about in terms of Warcraft story. But the content itself didn't leave much for replayability. I found myself, after the fact, not having any desire to do the content after I did it on my warrior. Whereas with Legion, it provided me with a whole bunch of replayability, and I was playing it constantly. So, in typical World of Warcraft fashion, they swung the pendulum to the complete other end in terms of what it provided.
How would you, Van?
The War of the Thorns, I enjoyed it, and depending on what faction you were, it was a slightly different story. Like, same outcome in the end, but just from different sides, you saw different things. So, I thought that was... it was good. I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed playing from both sides, because I've played both sides this expansion. I don't know that I'll continue to play both factions consistently for future expansions. But I might get bored of playing my Horde guy and play some Alliance. I mean, I have max level of those. It's super easy to step in, and I enjoyed raiding in Legion. And I think my days of raiding are pretty much numbered. It just requires a lot of commitment that I'm not really prepared to do. But overall, like, I enjoyed Legion a lot more than Warlords. I just did not enjoy Warlords. It just didn't tickle my fancy, I guess. The world, I just didn't really care for. The story wasn't really my thing. I enjoyed the invasions that we got, where I could level characters with that. Haven't taken advantage of those in the different quest zones in Legion, but I probably should. I read something today about how they had disabled those invasions for a little bit to do some other things, but that they were bringing them back, so I feel like we're probably going to still have those for a while. Hopefully. Easy way to level characters from 100 to 110. Yeah, that was a long-winded answer, but my short answer is I enjoyed it.
Okay. Other than the obvious emotional reaction to some of the events in the pre-BFA stuff, which were absolutely not wanted in some cases, I did enjoy them overall, though I somehow missed that there was some transmog stuff available for that. I didn't even see any of that. Didn't know that it existed. And now it's gone. So, oh well. Sad to be me.
It might just be recolors of something else. So
maybe. Yeah, just there's stuff that I didn't even know existed. So, but overall, it was not too bad. Alright, now time for shoutouts. We're going to do our Patreon shoutouts now, first off. And yeah, so Ian H, Lee, Navimi, Brock, Toasty, Fandeth, Redzian, Frasley, Thomas, David, Erlina, Troy, WookieBH, Bim, and Will. Thank you all for being Patreons this month. We very much appreciate your support, and we would love to have more of you in the future.
Ian H, is that Ian Hesacostas? Because that'd be so cool.
No. Trust me, yeah. If that was the case, you would already know about it. It's very good to see some new folks there, and good to have some fun people supporting the show. Now for our normal shoutouts, we'll start with Toasty.
I'm going to give a shout out to the person who decided to throw some Critical Role references into BFA. So far more of two. The spice cooking ingredient, Fusaka, which is just amazing, and I'm going to spice so much. The second one that I'm aware of is the Fjord Mustang.
Oh, wow.
Because there's a character in... one of the characters in the second campaign is named Fjord. He doesn't have a surname. He had to make one up on the fly. So he used Mustang.
Fjord Mustang.
Yep.
Okay.
It was amazing. I loved it. And I'm looking forward to finding more Critical Role references.
How are you, Ben?
My shout out is going to be to Christy Golden and any other content creators for World of Warcraft, and Blizzard. I truly appreciate all the work that you all do in the story creation, and I look forward to everything that's gonna come in the coming time. I haven't finished listening to that book that just got released. I can't even remember the name.
Brother Storm.
Yeah, that. But I've read parts of other books, I think. But I really love the storytelling. And I know that like a lot of the stuff wasn't, the stuff at the end of Legion wasn't really things that Christy Golden did, but I know that she's had a huge influence on a whole bunch of people, and I look forward to seeing her work in the future with the Blizzard team. So super awesome.
Cool. I'm going to take the wording of what you said and assume that my shout out is not included in yours because they are not part of story creation. And I'm going to give a shout out to Taryn Gregory and the entire cinematics department. They made some really awesome cinematics for this expansion and for the pre-events. So hats off to you guys. You guys did really awesome and I'm really, really impressed.
I didn't even think of that, but that's a very good shout out too.
Thanks. I'm glad I thought of it. But yeah, so that's it's really awesome. And thank you to everybody who's in those in all of Blizzard who do really awesome work, but especially those departments because they did really good stuff recently. But I think that's about it. So let's do an outro, shall we?
All right. So if you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show at allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz. Medros is at Medros. Fandeth is at Fandeth. I'm at ToastyPostyCan. And you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And you can join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata. And please check out the shows from... And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
Alright, we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of Kul'Thras. Zandalar. We'll see you there.
You know, I hear that ashes are really good for gardening, so maybe farmers go to the willow tree.
Rude.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.